Amen. Very good. What a blessing. And mother and son there. So that's great. Thank you very much. Let's take the Word of God this evening and let's go to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10 tonight. And I want to bring you a message that God has used in my own life. And I pray that the Lord will use this in yours. Tonight, I want to speak to you on a simple subject, but I think something that we all deal with. Tonight, I want to talk to you about the dangers of the devil's distractions. We think sometimes of the devil as being the guy in the red suit with a long pointy tail and the pitchfork, and that's how he is. But that's not the devil. You see, the devil, if you've seen him, he'd be the nicest guy you've ever met. He'd be pretty religious. He would speak religiously to you. I think that you would be encouraged by being in his presence, no doubt about it. Because you see, the Bible says that the devil is still Lucifer. He has not lost his angelic beauty. The name Lucifer means light bearer. And in heaven, before he was cast out, the devil was the greatest of all angels, the most beautiful of all angels. But because he desired to be like the Most High, he was cast out of heaven. And we know that he took a third of the angels with him. Brethren, tonight, the devil does not come to us per se and say, I'm going to ruin your life, I'm going to destroy your family, and here's what I'm going to do. The devil doesn't do that. The devil is too deceitful. He is too crafty for that. We think of the Garden of Eden when the serpent, the Bible says in chapter 3 and verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And you remember how the devil spoke to Eve? He just began to make her doubt and question the Word of God. Then I believe the devil was very patient as he spoke with her. And finally, the Bible says that she took of the forbidden fruit. You see, the devil had simply distracted her. What the devil desires to do in your life, in my life, is to simply distract us from the main thing that God has given us to do to something of lesser importance. Tonight, the danger of the devil's distractions. Let's read in Luke chapter number 10. And I want to give you, in my opinion, the greatest picture of distraction in the Bible. I don't know that I could find a better picture than this. And by the way, we're going to look at two sisters, Martha and Mary. Now, they are loving to be with Jesus. In fact, Martha was the one who invited Jesus to come to their home. But Martha became distracted. Let's read it. Luke chapter 10. And verse number 38. And it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Have you ever been distracted in your life? Well, distracted driving is probably one of the greatest problems that we have in our nation today. In fact, back in 2016, 3,450 people were killed by a distracted driver. In fact, last year alone, 421,000 people were injured in crashes involving distracted drivers. It is a problem today. There's no doubt about it. And we all have to admit that there's been many times that we have looked at a text or we've looked at something quickly, and before we know it, we've swerved or we're not on the right side of the road. In fact, the average time that if you're going 55 miles an hour, and the average time that it would take to look at a text message, you're driving down the road 55 miles an hour, you look at a text message, you take your eyes off the road, the average time it takes to do that, the average driver will travel the length of a football field without his or her eyes on the road. You can imagine the danger that that is involved in. In fact, I did a little research on this and I found that the second leading cause of automobile accidents today is on the cell phone. And by the way, at any time in America, 660,000 people at any time in America are on their cell phone while driving. I think I'm going to get a bicycle, you know? So it's a little scary to think about that, is it? We live in a type of age, and obviously automobiles industries are trying to deal with this problem with Bluetooth and all kinds of different things that I think is important. But brethren, distraction is a problem in life. You know, the truth is the devil doesn't necessarily want to distract you at first to something evil from something good and godly. But the devil would like to substitute the one thing needful, the thing of greatest importance, for something of lesser importance. In fact, let's just think about driving down the road. You know, for instance, a text message may be important. That phone call may be important, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is to keep your eyes on the road and to stay focused on what you are supposed to be doing at that time. In fact, another leading cause of automobile accidents is something, I've never heard of this, but I researched it. It is called rubbernecking. Isn't that a blessing? All right. You say, what is it? We've all done it. And the truth is, rubbernecking is looking at other things like crashes or someone being pulled over rather than looking at the road. How many understands what I'm talking about there? All right. Sometimes we are nosy people, are we not? We just are, you know. We're like, man, what happened there, you know? And it's rubbernecking. That's another leading cause. It is simply a distraction. Brethren, tonight, the devil desires to distract you from the main thing, the greatest thing of importance, to bring you to something of lesser importance. And by the way, so often we need to think about our distractions and what distracts us. Often, our attention is often drawn away to what is important to us. So the truth of the matter is tonight that if we say, well, that's just a distraction, but it could reveal what is most important to us in our hearts. In fact, a distraction can often reveal what we love. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Do you know that the devil uses a great tool today to keep us from the main thing, and that is to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ, to sit in devotion before Him, because when we are devoted to the Lord, when we are right with God in the private, secret place of our heart, it helps us to clarify everything else. Distractions tonight. You know, in fact, you can come to church and you can come to church three times a week and you can go out on soul winning and still live a distracted Christian life. In fact, we understand that the most dangerous error is often that which is closest to the truth. You see, the devil does his greatest work when he distracts us with something that maybe is good for something that is not best. Let's go back to our text here and we understand. Now, what was Martha and Mary doing? They were getting ready for Jesus to come to their house. Now, let's just be honest tonight. What if Jesus Christ was going to visit your home? Would you do a little house cleaning? Maybe. Would you have the carpets cleaned, the walls painted? I mean, hey, we might go to a great extent because Jesus, God's Son, is coming to my house. Now, I'm sure that Martha and Mary wanted Jesus to be there. And I believe, according to the text, that Martha and Mary both were serving. They were working. They were laboring. Jesus is coming, and we're excited about His entrance into our home. But the moment Jesus came to the home, Mary stopped everything to sit at Jesus' feet. But Martha, she was cumbered about with much serving. Now let's stop and think about this. The distraction for Martha was not something sinful. Martha wasn't sitting in the side room watching television, you know? She wasn't doing something that was that we would say, hey, Jesus is here. You need to get up and come to Jesus. No, she was serving. She was busy about doing good things. But she was not doing the one thing needful. You see, brethren, tonight, it is so often in our lives as we think about distractions, and technology can distract us today, there's no doubt. And it seems as if more people are more distracted by things that are not evil in and of themselves, but if they draw us away, and the word distract literally means to draw away. In fact, you know, the truth is, if we think about basketball or football, or we think about sports, do you know that one of the greatest ways to do sports is to try to distract everyone from what is most important, and that is keeping their eye on the football or the basketball and try to get it snuck around or whatever it may be. Great distractions. In fact, great military strategies. In fact, back in World War II, you know, I know of places where they built fake tanks and fake towns that looked like where the battle was to simply distract them to where the battle was going to be. And the devil does a great work in your life and in my life. Listen, the devil would love for us to be busy serving the Lord rather than sitting at His feet. The devil would love for us to be busy doing things, cumbered about with much serving. We are distracted from the most important thing, and that is devotion to Jesus Christ. May God help us. In fact, we think about 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Would you take your Bibles and let's go there just for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4. I told you the second leading cause of fatal car accidents today is cell phone use. They're distracted. In fact, I could show you pictures of people that were driving down the road looking at the cell phone, running into the back of someone. Distracted. They were not doing something sinful. They were not doing something evil necessarily, but they were simply distracted from what was the most important thing. But the number one cause of fatal car accidents today is not cell phone use. It is something called daydreaming. I couldn't believe it when I researched this, and I found that according to the National Highway and research, the number one cause of car accidents today is something called daydreaming. It is the ideal that you're driving down the road, you are looking, but you're thinking about something totally different, and you're not able to respond as quickly as possible. You're daydreaming. And I think that it is a great illustration of what the devil does to you and me. Brethren, the devil wants one thing tonight from you. He wants your mind. And if the devil can get your mind distracted or troubled about other things, or your mind to be consumed with other things other than devotion to Jesus Christ, he has done his greatest work. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Think of that. Do you know what the God of this world, who is the devil, he is blinding the minds of the unsaved. He is literally affecting their minds so that they don't receive the truth of God's word. And do you know the devil works in the same way in our lives? In fact, what did the Apostle Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 11? Would you turn there if you would please? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's look in verse number 3 and what the Bible says here. We understand that the devil is the father of lies, is he not? He knows how to lie. And by the way, do you know that the devil uses false ideas to distract us from what God has given us to do? The devil lies to you about God. He lies to you about God's goodness in your life. He lies to you and tells you that if you surrender your life to the Lord to do whatever God wants you to do, God's really going to mess up your life because, boy, that's just how the Lord works. The devil lies to you about God. He lies to you about other people. He lies to you about the care of God and the watch care of our Heavenly Father. He simply wants to distract you. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3, the Bible says this, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Is it not amazing that Paul uses the simplicity of Christ? Brethren, there is a simplicity of just simply being devoted to Jesus Christ. There is a simplicity of sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know, I remember when I first got saved and I came to know the Lord as my Savior. I remember it was just simple. I'll just be honest with you. It was simple that I was to walk with Jesus. I was to know Him and to love Him. And I just wanted to read His Word and I wanted to pray and talk to God. And God spoke to me through His Word and I talked to God through prayer. And it was as simple. It was just obeying and following Jesus Christ. But the devil is good at distracting your mind and my mind. And the devil fills us with all kinds of things. And can I say this to you? Oftentimes, it may be the devil says, well, you should be doing this, and you should be doing this, and you should be doing this. No, we've got to get back to this simplicity of devotion to Jesus Christ. And when we are devoted to Him, He leads us in what we should and should not do. He directs our paths. He separates us from things that do not belong in our lives. May I say to you tonight that the way to deal with distractions is one thing. It is devotion to Jesus Christ. Devotion. Loving Him. Walking with Him. Brethren, I fear that in my life, and I fear for you, as Paul would say here, lest by any means, the devil has many means, do you know that? He has many devices. He has many ways to distract us. Can I say this to you? As a local New Testament church, do you know what? The devil can use things to distract us from the most important thing, and that is a church. We are to go into the highways and the hedges and tell people about Jesus Christ. But the devil can get us off track. Now look, we've built buildings here, and we thank God for that. But you know something? That's not the main purpose of Grace Baptist Church. And you know something? We do all kinds of things. We have a Christian school and we have different ministries. But the main thing is for us as God's people to be devoted to Jesus Christ. And when we lose that, we have lost everything. You see, the devil is so good at what he does in our lives. We think the devil is out there. And boy, he says, here you go. Here is a terrible, evil, sinful thing that I want you to do. He doesn't work that. He uses something. He wants to substitute the good for the best in your life. Martha, what was Martha's problem? She was just distracted. Martha was doing something for Jesus, but she was distracted from being with Jesus. Let's go back in our text, if you would please, to Luke chapter. Would you notice this? Luke chapter number 10. The way that all of us must deal with distractions in our life is our devotion to Jesus Christ. I don't know if you remember the man by the name of Clyde Beatty. How many remembers Clyde Beatty? All right. Well, Clyde Beatty was a famous lion tamer. Clyde Beatty was 5.5 foot tall. Just a short guy in many ways. But he was a famous lion tamer. Now, let me explain to you something about Clyde Beatty. Clyde Beatty would go into the cage with three things. Now, there's a lion in there that could kill and destroy him. He goes in the cage first with the whip. What was the whip do? To whip the lion? Oh, no. It was to get the attention of the lion. And he would snap that whip and the lion would look at him. He used the whip to get the lion's attention. The second thing he would bring in there was a gun. Now, if it was me, I'd brought a machine gun, you know. Maybe it's some hand grenades and bazooka and all that, you know. But he brought a gun for last resort, just in case he was in trouble, you know. I think Clyde Beatty was a smart man, all right. He brought a whip, he brought a gun, and he brought a chair. Praise God for the chair, you know. You might think, well, what was the chair? Did he beat the lion with the chair? Oh, no. Did he sit in the chair? Oh, no. Well, what was the purpose for the chair? He would hold the chair up facing the four legs to the lion. He said, well, Pastor, what was that all about? It was simply for distraction. The lion would look at the chair and would see the four things sticking out at him, the four legs of the chair. And there was a certain kind of paralysis that would literally go over the lion, causing the lion to be tamed, because the lion was trying to focus on this leg, no, this leg, and this leg, and this leg. And it caused the lion to be tamed. A chair. You see, the devil in our lives, he just wants to get our eyes off of Jesus Christ. He just wants us to get consumed with something else. He will put thoughts in our minds. He will cause us to be distracted. Listen, has it ever happened to you that you can leave church and a couple hours later, someone asks you what the pastor preached on? And you just can't remember it for the life of you. And I'll be honest, how many would be honest and say that? Absolutely. Now, why is that? Because the devil is not trying to put the good thoughts in your mind. He is trying to steal the good things that God put in there. You see, he is the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he's good at what he does. He comes in the night. And brethren, the devil distracts us. I think he can distract us with a multitude of things. That, listen, it is God the Holy Spirit that puts his finger on things in our lives that are distracting us from the one thing needful. And the one thing needful is that devotion, that quietness, that solitude with Jesus Christ. You think about Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. May I read this to you, what the Bible says here. It's a beautiful verse. It says, wherefore, in verse number 1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And listen what it says. Let us lay aside every weight. Now, a weight is not sin, but it's distraction. And the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And then it says this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. If you were to study Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, and we understand that the New Testament was written, was literally from Greek, and we look at that word looking, it literally means to look away from everything else and to look unto Jesus. Do you understand how easy it is to get our eyes on other people? Do you know, in fact, even the disciples struggled with that a little bit? In fact, was it not Peter that was looking at someone else and said, Lord, what about this one? And Jesus said, you need to keep your eyes on me. You know, it's easy to get our eyes on other people, and maybe it would be another Christian that doesn't live for Christ. Said, boy, we get distracted by that. And we think, Lord, why don't they live for the Lord? And why does it not seem that things, I'm trying to live for God, and yet this one, you're getting distracted, and the devil is using a distraction. Do you know that comparing yourself with other people is a distraction? In fact, the Bible says that we compare ourselves among ourselves. We are not wise. Do you know that when we are looking at other people and other things and problems and situations, the devil simply wants to keep our eyes off of Jesus Christ? Here is Martha. Now look, we don't need to be too hard on Martha, because there's Martha in every one of us here tonight. That Martha spirit, so distracted. We're back in Luke chapter number 10, and I want to show this to you, what the Bible says for us here. It is devotion to Jesus Christ. Notice what it says. Luke chapter 10, and let's go back to verse number 41, or verse number 40. And the Bible says, "And Martha was cumbered about much serving." The word cumbered there literally means to be pulled apart. You talk about distracted. Martha was distracted. Now, Martha was doing something good and something that was, I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. Is it not good to serve Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Is it not good to take care of everything and to make sure that everything is the way that it needs to be? Is that not what we should be doing? But we are distracted. I wonder tonight, what has the devil used? What means, what device has the devil used to get your eyes off of Jesus Christ? And you say, well, I don't know. Well, answer this question. How important is it to spend time with Him? What about your prayer life? What about your time alone with the Lord Jesus in His Word? What about feeding on the Word of God and spending that time in prayer? You see, the way to deal with distractions is simple devotion. And when we are devoted to Jesus Christ, everything else falls in its proper place. And when Christ is in the proper view, everything else will be in its right place. But when Jesus is not in His proper place in our life, nothing else will work right. Nothing else. You see, this evening, I want this devotion. Take your Bibles. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 6, if you would please. And notice what the Word of God says to us here. Matthew chapter 6. And let's look in verse number 33. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33. Oh, how God's Word is so clear. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought." Now let's stop and let's think about this just for a moment. The Lord is not saying, don't even think about it. That's impossible. We do think about what we have need of, do we not? We think of what our children have need of. We think about the paying the bills and all that. The Lord is not saying, don't even put it in your mind. "Therefore, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." The ideal is, don't be cumbered about. In fact, Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And the Bible says, don't be careful. And Martha was careful. In fact, Jesus said, "You're careful about many things." Martha, you're a good lady. You love the Lord. Martha, I believe that you love me. But Martha, Martha, you're distracted, Martha. Martha, the one thing that is needful is what Mary has chosen. Mary said, "I'm going to sit at His feet." You see, sitting at His feet is a place of submission. Sitting at His feet is a place of allowing the Lord to speak to our heart. Is that not what the Bible says in Psalms, where it says, "Be still and know that I'm God"? That's sitting at Jesus' feet. That is right with Him. That is face to face with Jesus Christ. That is, "Lord, speak to me." Matthew chapter 6, would you also look in verse number 6 and notice what the Bible says? Even when we pray, do you know that we can be distracted when we pray? How many has ever had the phone ring when you wanted to pray? Would you raise your hand? How many, your child needed something emergency like cereal or something when you wanted to pray? Absolutely. Now look here. The distraction is not sinful in and of itself, but it is often the means by which the devil gets us off track. I remember years ago driving down the road one time and my exit was coming up. I had to get off. But I saw something over here and I was supposed to be looking over there for the exit, and I just got distracted for a moment and I missed the exit. And you know, it was 430 miles to turn around, you know? You know how it is. It feels that way, does it not? You know, it's like, oh, I lost a whole day, you know? Just by a moment's distraction. I said this morning that this Tuesday, my wife and I will celebrate 20 years of being married. And I thank God for my wife. And I don't want to get started there talking about how much I love her and I thank God for her. I remember kind of the first time, and I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, but I remember the first time that we kind of had our, not a disagreement, but the first, I want to say, disappointment in our marriage. It was on our honeymoon. And you say, well, Pastor, whose fault? You're looking at the person whose fault it was, all right? 99.9% of them are, in many ways. I remember I'd saved for our honeymoon for a long time. And I, you know, a college student, they're not wealthy by no means, you know. I was thankful just to be able to get out of college and have everything paid. And everything was paid, but I didn't have anything else except what was I saved for our honeymoon. And we went to Charleston, South Carolina in the cool month of July, you know. And we went there. And, you know, it was just wonderful. And people would roll on our car, you know, honk and we'll kiss. Man, we kissed a lot driving down the road, you know, and all that. But I remember we were able to stay in some neat places. In fact, there was one place that we were able to stay called the Wentworth Mansion. They had just renovated at that time, and the rates were very inexpensive because they were trying to get people to come in and see this mansion they just renovated, and it was unbelievably beautiful. I mean, just beautiful. And there was hardly anybody there in this huge mansion. So they took us up to the room, and I was walking around. I said, honey, look at this. This is unbelievable in here. It had great views over the city of Charleston. And I just kind of went on and on about how great the room was and all of that. And then I noticed I've got my eyes off the wrong thing. The whole reason I was there for her. And I could tell that I had offended my wife just a little bit. And my wife said, honey, I think you're more concerned about the room than you are about me. Yes, honey, I'm sorry. And, you know, and I made things right immediately. But boy, I learned that day how easy it is to get distracted off of the main thing. The main thing was just me and her being together. The main thing was the fellowship that we could have, the communion that we could share together, talking together, being together. And you know something? I'm afraid that sometimes in our lives we might get distracted by all the blessings of God rather than the one who is doing the blessing. And we get distracted by all of the other things when it is to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. And I wonder tonight, are you distracted? I'm not saying are you involved in some terrible sin, but it's simply a distraction. And you are not focused on Jesus Christ, as the choir sang. And you are not looking at Jesus. And the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, looking away from everything else. I ran track when I was in high school, and when I was young, I would go and watch the track team, especially the high school, and I'd dream about running in track and all of that. But there was a guy on our track team, much older than me. His name was Travis, and Travis was an athlete. He was good, and he was fast. And Travis was on a big, I think it was a 3,200-meter run, which was many times around the track, and it was obvious that Travis was going to win. People were close to him, but he had a good distance. And Travis was coming, and he was looking up in the stands, and we were cheering and going on. And Travis thought the finish line was at a certain place. And he stopped, and the runners ran past him, and he lost the race. He could have won. You see, so often we are doing what God has called us to do. And the devil is good to bring something along our way to get our eyes off of Jesus Christ. And we do not finish the race that God has given us simply because we are not devoted to Christ. Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." You remember Nehemiah. You remember when he was rebuilding the walls. And you remember Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. Boy, they were good, weren't they? They were the devil's great distractors. You remember what they wanted? Oh, they tried to get him to hinder from doing the work and rebuilding the walls of the city there. But you remember what they did? They said, "Hey, Nehemiah, Let's come down here. And Nehemiah, once you come down, let's talk together. I mean, hey, it's good to have fellowship, isn't it, Nehemiah? And maybe we'll have a little prayer time here just a little bit." But Nehemiah sent back the letter and he said, "I cannot come down, for I am doing a great work." You know what Nehemiah said? "I can't come down to you because God has given me something more important to do. And I've got my eyes on what the Lord has given me to do." Brethren, I wonder tonight, have I become distracted? Do you know there is a temptation, even as a pastor, that I'm busy preparing messages and I'm busy visiting folks in our church, which I love to do, and I'm busy with the administration and the school and all of the projects that we have going on, that I can miss the most important thing, the one thing needful, and that is to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. Andrew Murray, one of my favorite authors, said this: "How many Christians look upon it," speaking of their devotion to Christ, "how many Christians look upon it as a burden and a duty and a difficulty to get alone with God? That is the great hindrance to our Christian life everywhere." Go back, if you would please, in closing to Luke chapter number 10. And I want to close by showing you one last thing. Folks, tonight, Mary had eyes only for Jesus. She had eyes and ears for Him. She wanted to hear every word that He had to say. And I, in my mind, I envision Martha and Mary. They're both good ladies. I mean, they've invited Jesus into their home. It's not that Martha is some selfish, sinful person. That's not the ideal here. She loves to serve. She's wanting to serve her Savior, the one that she loves so dearly. And I walk into the home. Can you walk in there with me? Let's envision this. There's Martha. She's in the kitchen. Everything's got to be perfect. Jesus is there. I understand that. She wants everything to look well. And hey, Mary, let's get this straightened up. Jesus may want to sit there. And, well, let's have the best food for Jesus. Was it not good what she wanted? Sure it was. Was it not commendable? Could we not look at Martha and say, "Martha, good job"? But look what Jesus said. Go back to Luke chapter 10 and notice what the Bible says here in verse number 40. "And Martha was cumbered about much serving." She's pulled apart. She's just distracted. "And came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Now I want to stop and I want to say this right now. I've read that so many times and I thought, good night, Martha. But boy, how many times I've done that. How many times, even in my prayer time, I've said, "Lord, so-and-so here." How many times I've said, "God, I'm working so hard trying to do all this. And Lord, I just don't have any help." And Lord, and I believe the Lord can say to me, as He said to Martha, look in verse 41. "I had you this morning write your name in that passage. You remember? Would you do it again here with Martha, Martha? Put your name there. Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, what about your name? Thou art careful. The word careful there means anxious. And troubled about many things. You know what that means? Distracted. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. I want to say this, spending time at Jesus' feet, listening to Him, will correct every distraction in your life. It will focus you on what is most important. It will show you what is the heart of Jesus Christ. By the way, if we don't have a desire to tell others of Jesus Christ, it's obvious we are distracted. Because the very heartbeat of our Savior, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And when we sit at His feet, we want to tell others about Jesus Christ. You see, tonight, it is not that we are off into some terrible thing, that we are just, whoa, wait, we're way off. No, we're just distracted by the means of the devil, by good things, by things that are not just the best thing. The best thing is sitting at Jesus' feet. It is walking in devotion with Jesus Christ. May I say this to you? Mary made a choice. And God blessed her for her choice. You and I have a choice to make. I mean, notice what the Bible says. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen. Brethren, all of us make a decision. No one makes you become distracted. But the one thing that is needful, the one thing that is necessary, is being in His presence. Mary is at peace listening to Jesus Christ. She is at rest in His presence. See her sitting there with joy in her heart, sitting at the feet of Jesus. But Martha, her mind is pulled in every direction. I've got to fix this. I've got to take care of that. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I understand Martha. In fact, I can relate better to Martha than I can Mary. And boy, we think good of ourselves too, do we not? Well, I'm doing this, and boy, I worked hard and labored, and I did this and this and this and this for God. But the one thing that is needful is to sit at Jesus' feet. We were back in Matthew chapter 6, and I forgot to read this to you, but you remember about the prayer. And how that we are to pray. May I read it to you? But the Bible says in Matthew 6:6, it says, and when thou prayest, in verse number 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Now, does that mean that if you don't have a closet, sorry, buddy, you can't pray? Too bad. Too bad. You got to have a closet. No. The ideal there is devotion. It is, Lord, I just want to be with You. Lord, I just want to be in Your presence. We took this vacation, and I know I've talked about it a lot, but spent time with my family. And I struggle in my heart at times. I am wired to always be doing something. It's just who I am. My personality, and I wanted to have everything on a schedule. Here's what we're doing, and we're having fun at this time, and we're laughing here, and you got to laugh, and we're having fun, and let's keep this thing going now. And my wife, bless her heart, she has to say, honey, we just want to be with You. And you know, the truth is, I think that's what children want most. They just want to be with mom and dad. It's not what mom and dad could do necessarily. You see, the Lord, yes, we should be serving. We should be busy about our Father's business. But it begins with the one thing that is needful. The enemies of devotion is distraction and an anxious spirit. Tonight, the Lord has dealt with me about this so very much. I can remember when I first got saved, and I just wanted to be with Jesus. I'd get my Bible and I'd go down by the creek and I'd stay down there for a long time. And there was no, Lord, I've got 15 minutes here. No, it was, Lord, I've come to be with you. And my prayer time was, Lord, I'm just going to pray and just be alone with you. You see, brethren, tonight we have crammed in so much. We have more time-saving devices today than ever, and we have less time. Why? I think sometimes we try to do too many things. In fact, I think sometimes we do too much, more even than what God wants us to do. The one thing needful that settles everything, that balances everything, that puts us on the right track, is to sit at Jesus' feet. Are you distracted tonight? Then come, sit at His feet. May the Lord help us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven,